In the Jim Crow South, the black community faced frequent violence and intimidation. Today in our series, Voices for Civil Rights, we hear stories of encounters with the Ku Klux Klan. All this month, we're exploring a new collection of interviews about the civil rights movement conducted by the Southern Oral History Program at UNC Chapel Hill. Oral historians travel the country gathering recollections, part of a joint project between the Smithsonian Institution and the Library of Congress. Seth Koch coordinated the effort, and he joins me in studio as he does every Friday this month. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning.
So what are we going to hear today?
So first we're going to hear from Dr. Robert Haling. And Dr. Haling was a dentist in St. Augustine, Florida, and is remembered by members of the youth movement there as an incredible mentor. And early in the 1960s, he and some fellow activists loaded up a car and went to check out a Klan rally that was taking place in the area.
So it was just a big event that he wanted to go see?
Yeah, they felt comfortable enough to just go see what was happening. Unfortunately, they were ambushed. They discovered that Dr. Haling had an NAACP membership card in his pocket, and he and his fellow activists were terribly beaten. He describes them being stacked like cordwood on the stage at the rally, having gasoline poured on them. And one of the Klansmen there asked the crowd if they wanted to smell these people burn.
I usually summarize by saying that the injuries I encountered, I will take to my grave. And so because I had head injuries, I lost 11 teeth, and my right arm was because my patients and all were in attendance at the Klan rally. They pointed out that I was a right-handed dentist, and they made sure that they did tremendous damage to my right arm and all. And if I had not been in certain physical condition to rehabilitate the muscles and the ligaments in this arm, I would have had to quit my practice.
Yeah. Yes.
An excerpt of an interview with Robert Haling. Fortunately, the rally was broken up before the Klansmen followed through on their threat to set Dr. Haling and his friends on fire. Seth, he says his patients were at the Klan rally. How did a black dentist have white patients in the segregated South?
Well, this interview is just one of the many reminders that we get that racial segregation in the South and throughout the United States didn't mean that a wall was built between the white and the black communities. There was communication, negotiation, flexibility. In this instance, the people at the rally who were his patients were white police officers who had been taking advantage of the free care that they could get from a black dentist in St. Augustine.
So the Jim Crow South produced all kinds of strange and fraught encounters. Our next story is about a very different experience with the KKK.
Right. Cecil Williams was a high school journalist in Orangeburg, South Carolina, and he heard about a Klan rally that was happening in Orangeburg. So he could drive at the time. He headed over and showed up with his camera. When he gets there, the Grand Dragon and a highway patrolman are basically breaking things down, and they are in the process of putting out the smoldering cross. And needless to say, they were a little bit surprised to encounter this young African-American reporter.
And as I was leaving, they called me back and said, well, do you want to take a picture of us, here? And I said, yeah. So what happened, the cross, the burned-out cross was then, it was laying on the ground. And then, so the three of us re-erected the cross, and the Ku Klux Klan's dragon and the highway patrolman and I re-erected the cross, and they stood in front of it, and I took a picture of it. So when I told my mother, what I'd done, she said, she really kind of was very angry because she realized that I had put myself in danger. But being so naive about, the whole thing, it didn't occur to me years later that I had put myself into the danger.
Cecil Williams recalling his experience as a teen reporter. Seth, it seems clear that for an African-American in the South during this time, you just never knew when violence might or might not strike.
I think so, and it's incredible to imagine how unsettling that must have been to try to go about your daily life with this threat hanging over you and this degree of uncertainty. But there were groups that tried to give the black community a degree of safety and security, And when our interview team traveled to Bogalusa, Louisiana, they learned about a group called the Deacons for Defense and Justice. Now, this was a group that started in Alabama, and it spread through certain communities in the South. And it was dedicated to armed resistance. If you were 21 and had a gun, you could join. They bought their ammo in bulk and provided it to you for free. And this was a group that basically guarded black neighborhoods and black communities against the threat of violence. And this past summer, our team interviewed a former member of the Deacons. This is Fletcher Anderson with his wife, Cynthia.
We have to be able to, for the community to say that there was somebody going to protect them, that they could go to bed knowing that somebody was out there protecting them, that they weren't going to be drug out of their houses, they weren't going to be killed, their children weren't going to be Emmett Till or those type situations happening to them. The Klan in Washington Parish is as powerful as any population in the world. Population size is as strong as anywhere else in the world. And that still exists. That still exists.
All they got on is a three-piece suit now and a tie. That's the difference in them.
But the fear is gone. The fear is gone out of black people of the Ku Klux Klan. That fear is gone. There's no more fear there. The Deacon took the fear out of it because he taught them that the same bullet that'll kill you, the same bullet that'll kill somebody else.
So that was Fletcher and Cynthia Anderson speaking from Bogalusa, Louisiana in Washington Parish there. And I can't speak to the strength of the Ku Klux Klan, but I can tell you that for families that we spoke to in Bogalusa, the threat of violence is still very real. And the home of one person we spoke to there had an arson attack against it in January of last year.
Incredible, Seth. Thanks for bringing us these stories, and we'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it.
Seth Koch is coordinator of Oral History Digital Initiatives at the Southern Oral History Program at UNC Chapel Hill. These oral histories are being added to the holdings at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. You can learn more about the Smithsonian's Civil Rights History Project and hear all the oral histories we broadcast at our website, wunc.org.
They're gonna let nobody